So, did you notice while we were worshiping, the Lord came? It's good, isn't it, when he comes? I'll explain that in a moment. I couldn't even sing today. So, John Maxwell talks about five levels of leadership that we have in life, whether you're a business supervisor or a softball coach or a parent or a teacher, a friend, a pastor, whatever. There's levels, right? He says his first level is people follow you because they have to, right? They just have to. You got the paycheck, they want it, there you go. But you'd be surprised at the second highest level, not the highest, the second. Why people follow is because what you've done for them, what you personally have done for them, they follow you. But it's really the highest level. The highest level, John says, is who you are and what you represent, right? So he puts it another way. He says levels of leadership this way, position. In other words, it's no ability or effort to achieve. People just follow because of your position. Or he says the next level, permission. People follow you because they simply want to. They want to. But then there's the production. People follow you because of what you get done. You get her done. And you get things done and they follow you. But then there's people development leadership. They identify and pour into you, and that's good. But then there's a level, he says, pinnacle. It's the most challenging to attain. It's the long-term at something with credibility and integrity that people see who you are and what you do, what you're about, and they follow. Therefore, why do we follow Jesus? He's the pinnacle. I love football. As we get to know each other, I love football. I love the gridiron. I love the game. I love the strategy, the battle, the stories, the smell of fall, all that, the movies. Football is in my blood, and I've played for 8 years. And I would be one of the first guys out at practice, right, for 8 years. And sure, there were days I was sore and tired and mentally tapped out, but I played the game because I loved the game. Now, I remember my junior year at Crown College. My junior year, I had a biology lab that would run late once a week on Thursday. So I told the head coach, Fred Poulding, I said, "Coach, it's Thursday lab. I'll be 10 minutes late. No problem, Pete." Well, that junior year, we had a new assistant coach, and our assistant coach was introduced. And over the course of this practice, we could tell it just wasn't working with this coach. There was a kind of a bravado about him and just wasn't connecting. Anyway, so I remember as the season was going on, guys were showing up late, and so forth. And I remember our assistant coach had it. And he said, "I want everybody on the goal line right now." And so we all got on the goal line. I said, "Here we go, what's coming?" And he says, "Everybody that was late today takes 5 steps forward." Boom. It was Thursday. And he goes, "Cannizzaro, you were late." I looked over at my head coach. "Coach, I have, a deer in the headlights." I'm like, "Oh, great. Cannizzaro, I'm calling you out. Step out." Not one of my finest moments. I walked off the field. Bob, a good friend of mine, ran over to me. He kind of consoled me. He said, "Pete, I understand. It's coach. Yeah, but we really need you over here. Come on over." So I knew Bob was right. I came over, did my laps, did my push-ups and all that. And everything was set, and Coach and I agree to disagree. But here's what I would say to you. If it was any other coach that I had, because of who they were, I would have done it in a heartbeat. No problem. But because I wasn't willing to do it for the team, my pride got the best of me, because I felt unfairly treated, right? And so I never will forget that lesson. Why we follow. Why we follow. Over the years, when you look at our relationship of Jesus, why we follow, when we don't bond with him on those tougher parts of life, and he calls us to take 5 steps forward, and we hesitate, we got to ask ourselves why. Because when we bond, we go, he's the Lord. Whatever he says goes. And like I said, I've had coaches. I love them. I would go to their office and just hang out. My head coach in high school would say, all right, Pete, what scripture do you have for us to put on the board? You know, and so Marcus was a good friend of mine. Marcus was black, African-American. I was white. They called us salt and pepper. I was the salt, just so that you know. Love Marcus. I can't wait to see him at our 40th high school reunion coming up. So let's look at Exodus. The passage is Exodus 20, verses 18 to 21. This is a real test for Moses and his leadership, how people would follow, not just him, but follow the Lord. They had just left Egypt. I'll explain that. But let's look at Exodus 20, verse 18 to 21. It reads here, when the people saw the thunder and lightning, this is Mount Sinai, okay? When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourselves and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. This is a real critical moment in Israel's history with Moses and the people. It's critical because God had just released them from captivity of 400 years. Now he's establishing them to be ready for them to be a nation. And so he's giving God, I'll show you here in a moment, is giving a love proposal. I want to marry you, Israel. And when you're in love, you do certain things. When I was in love in high school with Ellen, I ran 17 miles just to be with her on a Saturday. My future brother-in-law went, Ellen, Pete's here. I'm like, thanks, Jim. I just ran 17 miles. And I remember I couldn't eat that week for breakfast. And I looked at my mother, I can't understand why I'm not eating. It's football season and all that. And my mother smiles. She goes, I know what it is. You're lovesick. Right? So here we are. Israel is not lovesick. They're too sick to love. They're too sick to be able to love at that level. They didn't bond with God and understand the fear of the Lord. So Moses has led them to the mountain for this relationship to get started, right? It says in the previous chapter, chapter 19, verse 5, it says, this is God saying to Moses, get them ready, right? And he says, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then all the nations you will be my treasure possessions. You will be, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you're to speak to all the Israelites. Do you see the love offer? Let's have a covenant together, us. But then God prepares them, right? The love offer was going to be there. But then he says this, now I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. So God's preparing the meeting, right? I'm going to come. Here's what's going to happen. Just be aware, a voice, a cloud, let them know, right? I mean, this is the stuff of legends, right? Come on, this is a historic moment. So God draws near, and there's two reactions. Those that see God come, and they want to come further in. Others, because of God's presence, they're too sick to bond. They pull away. They don't understand the fear of the Lord. What I want to do is to understand, or at least help us understand what the fear of the Lord is. And just asking four questions today. What is the fear of the Lord, right? I want to answer, it's in your outlines there, follow along. And these are four questions I want to be able to answer. The questions of how do you define the fear of the Lord? What is not the fear of the Lord? Three, what are the benefits of the fear of the Lord? And how do I foster a healthy fear of the Lord? Just some scriptures to kind of get us prime the pump here a little bit. Psalm 34:9, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. There is such a thing as having everything you've ever needed in God by the fear of the Lord. Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Can you actually have joy in trembling at the same time, but not be afraid? It's the fear of the Lord. There's a difference. We'll get to that. Psalm 34:18, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope in his unfailing love. There's a relationship, love and fear towards the soul, towards God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is a wisdom that you cannot find in books. It's found in the fear of the Lord. When you get that, you are better than the Library of Congress. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. What does shunning evil have to do with the fear of the Lord? We'll take a look at that. So a healthy fear of the Lord, if we establish this in our souls, we will follow Jesus. And when he says, take five steps forward on that goal line, we'll do it. Yep, I'm there, Lord. I am there. So how do we define the fear of the Lord? Let's make it absolutely clear what it's not. I know I was going to say I was going to do that, but I'm going to combine the first two questions together here. To fear the Lord is not to be afraid of him. That is not what this is. What love is there if you're afraid of a person? You're going to hide, right? 1 John reminds us, perfect love casts out fear, right? Now, when I played hide and seek with my kids, I used to love to terrorize them. We called it happy terror. And I would go hide in the darkness, and Josh and Alicia would come in and go, you go in there. No, you go in there. I think he's over there. No, I think he's over there. And then I would come from a place they never thought, and I would go, whoa! And then they would just scream their heads off, and then Alicia would start laughing. Happy terror. In the presence of the Lord, there's no such thing as that. Afraid, okay? This is not what the scriptures teach. There are healthy fears in life, though, and there are destructive fears in life. A healthy fear is not to get too close to a hippo in Africa. They are very violent when you get in their territory. When Ellen and I were in Alaska, and we saw two moose come together behind the car, I said, honey, do not go on the other side of that car, those moose. When their ears flap like this and they're looking at you, that you are a bullseye to that moose. Those are healthy fears, right? They're destructive fears we have. Ulcers and migraines and stomach aches. But this is not that. What then is a healthy and holy fear of the Lord? John said, perfect love casts out fear. When we bond with God in the deeper regions of the soul with God, as we look at the fear of the Lord, you will be made more perfect and you will bond and you will begin to grow in the fear of the Lord. We'll get to that. Before I give you a definition, though, let me give you two pictures that I want you to see when it comes to the fear of the Lord. When we moved from Colorado to New Jersey, Jake was about a year and a half, and I was the pastor of the church, and we had a daycare center there. And so I dropped Jake off on the first day, and I had never heard him scream that day like he did. I mean, he was screaming for me. And I was just, it was a horrible feeling. And mom, dads, have you been there? Have you been there where they're like really high-pitched? I mean, it's a horrible feeling, like, oh, how do I go to work with this? But I knew they'd be fine. He'd be fine. But that picture, keep that picture in your mind, okay? Keep that picture. Second picture, when Ellen and I go to Block Island, Rhode Island, that's where we went for a honeymoon, and we go from time to time. This one year we went, it was a crazy wicked storm. Wicked storm. And everybody went below deck. I'm like, I'm going on top. I'm like, honey, I'm going to ride this thing out. This is exciting. There were just three of us on that top, and it was like this. And Ellen said later to me, people were turning purple and green down below, you know. And I'm sorry, I'm having the time of my life, right? Yes, Ben, I can handle that kind of experience. Anyway, that moment, I had so much fun, there was no fear. I knew I'd be fine. There was no fear. It was a blast. Now, keep those pictures in mind. Back to the passage in Exodus 20. What did Moses say? Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Notice, it sounds like a contradiction. It's not. There are two different Hebrew words that are being used here, right? But because they didn't have a healthy view of God, they wanted to hide. And this is what happens in the presence of God. I sensed the Lord was here, and I felt like Isaiah, wow, holy are you. And then I went, whoa, who am I to preach today? And then the woo of God comes, right? Who'll go for us? I call you to preach, Pete. Okay, he'll go. Now, here's where we bring it together in the definition, and John Brevere has given me a lot of help in this. To fear the Lord is to love and revere him so supremely that you love what he loves, not just like, you love what he loves. And you hate what he hates, not just dislike, you hate what he hates. With this absolute concern of ever being separated from God. Jake, I don't ever want to be apart from you, Dad. Right? Where you see tremendous power of the sea and you go, I'll be fine. When you grow in the fear of the Lord, you become like that. Augustine said this, the chill that you feel when you think of never seeing God's face is your love for God. Think about that. The chill that you feel when you think of never seeing God's face is your love for God. To put it another way, your love for God can be measured by your reaction of the idea that you never get to see Jesus. Process that one. Is it possible that the reason we're seeing millennials leave? What's wrong with this church? What's wrong with this church? And I'm going, maybe it's because they've not been welded into this bond in the fear of the Lord where you go, I don't ever want to be apart from you, God. Please. So when we fail to bond, we fail to grow in the fear of the Lord. We need to learn to grow. 30 years ago, I had taken a missions trip of young people to Reynosa, Mexico. And it was a church of about, it was an alliance church of about 1,500 people. And I remember our first Sunday we were worshiping and I'm going, we're singing in Spanish and I'm going, what is this? I was 28 at the time. I'm going, what is this? I have no idea what I'm saying. I know one word, cortisone. You know what that word is, right? It's the heart. That's all the only word I knew. And I'm going, your presence, God, is here. And I'm singing in Spanish. I don't even know what I'm saying. You're here amongst the people. So they said they had prayer every morning from 5:30 to 6:30 in the warehouse. I said, team, we're going to that. And as we went to this warehouse, there were about 100 people in there. And it was dark, and they kind of welcomed us, prayed together, and then they released us into the warehouse. And as I listened to these Mexicans cry their hearts out, Señor, I worship you, I love you, come, Señor. And I'm listening to their hearts going, wow, these people are going for God. And it was in that moment began I realized I need to grow in prayer. I need to know what it's like to have a heart like that. Let me repeat the definition. The fear of the Lord is to love and revere him supremely, to love what he loves, not just like, to hate what he hates, not just dislike, and to be absolutely concerned of ever being separated from him. You see, sometimes we reduce the fear of the Lord to just reverence, but we don't do that with love, right? If we define love is patient, that's it. Well, that's part of it, right? But it's more than that. And that's what the same with the fear of the Lord. And so we have to get that in our blood. So what is it not to fear the Lord? And I believe you've heard that. It's not to be afraid. The presence of God, when the presence of God comes, sometimes we don't recognize it. I get that. And sometimes when it does, you're like, wow, God is here. We either can hide or we can hone in on to him and go after him. And I felt so unworthy to even preach today. Third question then is, what are the benefits of the fear of the Lord? Are there benefits? Psalm 31:19, how great is the goodness of God as stored up for those who fear him. God has things up his sleeve for you and I to those that make this part of your life. Notice the good things. What are those good things? I'll just name some benefits. First, the greatest benefit, hands down, is you go on the deeper regions with God. He takes you to that. When he sees that you fear him in the definition we just gave, he then reveals himself to you in the deeper parts of his heart with you, and you're drawn in. Proverbs 2:5, the fear of the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. So as we grow, he begins to kind of go, come on in, come on in, come on in, further and further. The word intimate comes from a Latin word, to be intimate. Intus, which means within, and intimus, which means very secret. When you join those two, it's the innermost secret. So Psalm 25 says this, who then is a man that fears the Lord? He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. At some point, I want to look at the life of Abraham with you and the three mountains that God met with Abraham. And on the third mountain, God said, now you are ready, Abraham. The first two you were not, but now you're ready. I want to tell you what I want to do through your life. You have my dream now. I'm going to share with you the innermost parts of my heart with you. And I want to be able to reach that third mountain, to reach that third mountain. Another benefit is the wisdom to live in this crazy, unpredictable world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need wisdom now, don't we? Like, how do you navigate some of the stuff that's going on? You know, we don't want to be judgmental, but we want to be truthful. And so I want to love what he loves, and I want to hate what he hates. I'll be honest with you. There's some things I dislike, but I don't hate. You know, and so one of the things I will do with you, we'll go through a Daniel fast, and I'll prepare you for 3 weeks on that, and then we'll do it for 3 weeks. But I know the Lord reveals things to us, but James reminds us he gives grace to the humble, right? Another benefit is that it knocks out all other fears. When you fear the Lord, you don't fear other things. You just don't fear him anymore. It's just like, it just knocks all other fears out. While I was doing my intern in Vermont, one of the youths had played soccer, and I wanted to go see her game, and I was looking for her game field. I was off for about like a mile or 2 miles, but the boys were practicing, you know, their soccer and doing their thing, and I'm looking, where are the girls? And so these boys were practicing, and all of a sudden, it's called a flashbang. You know what a flashbang is? Anybody know what a flashbang is? Okay, a few of you. This is crazy, man. A flashbang is when a SWAT team is going to make an intrusion on a criminal. This guy had stolen a police car with a rifle inside or a gun. They found him and they did a flashbang. It's a bright light that poof, goes out with a wave of power. Poof. So I was like 100 yards from this, and you went, what is that? All these boys are like, whoa, coach, what do we do? I'm out of here. These boys just started running. And I'm like running with them going, I don't know what that was, guys. What was that? And so we're chatting and talking, and we're going, and I got in the vehicle, and I made it to the field and where the girls were. But I actually, here's the truth. While I was talking with them, I wasn't afraid. I just I'm going to be okay. If I die, I die. I mean, I don't take that. You know what I mean? I'm okay. I was like, how's Ellen? Where's my wife? I don't even know what that was. So it knocks out fears. It knocks out other fears. Believe me, I still fear. I have some fears. Don't worry, I'm still human. The fourth is he answers prayers of the heart. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. What are those desires you have today? Do you desire to be more in sync with your spouse? I want to understand. Is your sense of purpose been jumbled lately? Like, my purpose is just off kilter. I don't know. Do you need rest from a weary week? Was it hot this week or what? Someone joked on Facebook, God, whatever you're cooking, I think it's ready. I thought that was funny. Another benefit, there's joy in your soul, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Here's why you can have joy. Nothing is going to separate me from God. Nothing. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. So I'm free and I have life. It's a beautiful reality to live in. Fear of the Lord. I'm going to look at Jesus next week when he spoke about the fear of the Lord. And he basically says, don't fear the one that can destroy body. Just fear the one who can destroy body and soul. Again, not about being afraid, right? Honor, revere, love, shun evil, the one who can do both. So last question, how do I foster a healthy fear of the Lord? How do I do that? Keep short accounts with God. As soon as something comes to your mind, you know, I was just confessing some things over there. Paul, did you sense it, just the Lord's presence while we're singing? Yeah, totally, man. Keep short accounts with God. Paul exhorts us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Isn't that interesting? Fear of the Lord, and trembling, like, I don't want nothing but you and me, God. Nothing, I don't want anything. Like your teaching today, Dwayne, it was so good. I got hit with, be a generous man, Pete. Be a generous man. Second, develop prayer partners in this area. If you really want to grow in the fear of the Lord, get around people that really know how to live and pray and live in the fear of the Lord. Fred Hartley has been a mentor of mine. He has helped me tremendously in the fear of the Lord, the way that he lives. He's been a tremendous mentor in my life. And so I try to hang out with him as much as possible. Joshua did this with Moses, right? And there's a story of Moses and Joshua where Moses goes into the tabernacle to pray, and Joshua's right there with him. When Moses goes out to get some work done, what is Joshua doing? He's staying in there. He's like, I'm staying here. I want to grow in this. Whatever you have with God, I want. So where you go, I'm going. Isn't that a great picture of Joshua? That's a great picture of Joshua. I close and bring this together today. As John Brevere is an international leader and teacher and author and writer, and I really respect his ministry. I've not always followed him, but his story he told really stayed with me. He was teaching in Brazil. He was at a conference with a lot of people with a worship team. That was a very gifted team, one of the most popular in Brazil. But John said when he went, you know, on stage, he kind of was looking out at the people and he began to notice some things that were happening. People were not engaged in worship. People were chatting at the cafe. Wives were in their purse, guys were chatting together. You know, things were just all over the place. And he's like, something is not right here. And then the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord said to him, I want you to address this. Okay, Lord, here we go. And what John did was, John came up with the interpreter, because people were chatting, they were all talking. And he just waited for a whole minute like this. And the voices went down. And he said this, can you imagine having a conversation with a friend across the table and you're trying to talk with them, and they're not looking at you, they're looking at the ceiling, and they're talking to the person next to them, how would that make you feel? Or if the greatest Brazilian soccer players came up on stage here, would you give them the full attention? Would you anticipate what they're going to say? You would. He said, we're not doing that with God right now. And John, for the next 45 minutes, preached on the fear of the Lord. At the end of it, he said, are there anybody here that wants to repent on behalf of how we've been treating God in worship? He said 75% of the people stood up. He said it was one of the most beautiful sights as people began to repent and get right and grow in the fear of the Lord. In that moment, a transition had come in that room. And John says it was one of the most beautiful sights he had ever seen. I just close with Psalm 24, and I'll pray. When David said this, as a worship leader, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. You see that? That he may come in, like manifest, right? Not just be omnipresent, Psalm 139, God's present everywhere, right? David said, but no, where Jesus said, that I may manifest, right? David's talking about that. Who's this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. I'm going to pray, but you listen to what I pray, okay? Jesus, right now, if there's something in our life where we need to say, Jesus, I need to make this right with you right now. Lord, help us to do that. Whatever that sin, that issue, that struggle, that battle, that heartache, get it right. For maybe for some of us, we're like, I want to grow in the fear of the Lord. You hear that and you will answer that. For some of us, Lord, it's that we're processing and we want to take those steps in this direction because to be in a place where we don't ever want to be apart from you, we want to grow in that. Would you teach people today? There's someone that needs to say, yes, Jesus, I want you now. I want all of you now. This is my time. This is your time, Lord. Make that moment of regeneration, that conversion, that transition from life of darkness to life in the light. So Jesus, thank you that there is delight in the fear of the Lord. You will never separate us from your love. Help us to grow in the fear of the Lord. We ask in your great name, Jesus. Amen.